Well. Thank you, thank you. Y'all are going to make me hike up my britches. And
you know it's going to be a good sermon.
That's right. Take off my earrings. Man, y'all sang my sermon. Y'all sang my sermon. You spoke the words, Marianne. Judith, you spoke the words. So I'm just going to recap, I guess. I brought my Bible. That doesn't scare y'all, does it? It's pretty harmless. If you drop it or anything by accident, you're not going to hell or anything like that. You know, this book scares a lot of people. It's been used to scare a lot of people. It's not scary. It's all in the way you look at it. It's all in the way you treasure it. And so today, I'm going to read a few of the Psalms. And the Psalms kept coming back to me all this week because they were written by a man that, we think anyway, that I actually named one of my sons after, David. I also named my other son after a great ruler, Alexander. So there's no complex going on at our house about any of that stuff, to name our sons after two kings. So, but David was a flawed individual. David was a flawed and beautiful individual. I mean, he did order the husband of the woman he lusted after into the front lines of battle where he would be killed. That's kind of bad. No matter how much you want the gal, that's just not a good thing to do. And then say to God, oh, I'm so sorry. Can I still have all the abundance that you intended for me? So David battled with his own demons. And every time you read a psalm where David is saying, oh, thank you, God, for all this goodness. You're above all of everything. And if my enemies are in the way, smite them. There's not enough smiting going on in the world today. We need some more smiting, don't we? Wouldn't that be a good word? You know, if we use that in politics or whatever. If you don't stop that, we will smite you. No, it would not be a good thing for us to do. That's just for us to laugh about a little. But every time David says, God, punish my enemies. Do you think he was always talking about somebody outside of him? I think not. Because we can find all kinds of enemies and things on the outside that would appear to, you know, disrupt our lives. Injure us, insult us, for God's sake. But we have plenty of those enemies on the inside, do we not? We've got plenty of voices inside our heads saying we're not good enough, we're broken, we're stupid, we're put upon. Life doesn't treat us fairly. I'm not the only one. I'm not just reciting my own inventory up here, am I? I mean, is this all of us? Yes. It's always going on. The voice is in our head. But here's what we can know. I'm going to get down here with y'all. Here's what we can know. That if we can identify those voices that are telling us all the things that really aren't true about us, that are temporary thoughts, if we can identify that, we can also identify that which is not that. Every time we've got this thing going on up here, and it, you can feel it, it's right up here. It's right up here. We get all these things going on in our heads that we believe to be true about how awful things are for ourselves and for the world, and don't you get tired of it? But if we can identify that, then we can also identify that in us, which isn't that. And that's what we keep coming back to. Y'all sang something about breathing, didn't you, in our first song today? Yeah. Because that's the key. Because we kind of need to breathe. And I don't mean just little shallow breaths that keep our function going. I'm talking about really breathing. We're going to do a little bit of that in a few minutes, just as kind of a practical exercise. So when I knew I was going to speak with you on the first Sunday in November, I thought, okay, probably need to do something about Thanksgiving. It's the only chance I'm going to have, so let's talk about giving thanks. And then I was bored with myself. Because what have I got? Give thanks, everybody. That's what the month is for. But you know, it's not always easy to find gratitude, is it? And there are some days when I admit to myself that I don't even want to find gratitude. I want to be miserable for a while, thank you very much. I'm going to sit here in my own stinky self and just not be grateful. Because I don't want to. And if you have not ever had a day like that, you think, you might be telling yourself a story. Because we like to indulge ourselves every now and then in a little bit of self-pity and a little bit of self-righteousness and a little bit of, I can figure this out on my own. Thank you very much, God. And it's at the times when we least feel like being grateful that it's most crucial that we are. And so we have to figure out a way to do that. Now, last time I spoke with y'all, I told you a little bit about kind of going through my husband having cancer, and 6 weeks later I found out I had cancer, and our kids had just gone off to college, and it was like, wah, this is just not fair. You know, it's not fair to us, it's not fair to our kids, you know. Well, that's not a criteria for living, that it be fair. Because what it is it just is. Life just is. And for whatever reason, that's what happened to us. Now, in the last few months, I've been trying to adjust medications because there's some after effects to treatment. Chemo's not very kind to your body. Some of you in this room know that. It can have some lasting effects. So I've had to adjust medications and try other things, and it has really, really messed with me on a psycho-spiritual level. And it's not been very pleasant. And there have been days when I knew that it was important for me to be grateful about something, otherwise I would go into kind of a deep, dark place of despair. And that's the truth. And so I could see myself heading that direction. And I'd take a deep breath and go, okay, what am I grateful for? Bless you. I'm grateful for this cat that's laying in my lap, who knew I needed her to lay in my lap right now. I am grateful that I can look out and I can see the wind moving the leaves on the trees, because that's God's breath that I can see visibly. I'm grateful for the host of friends that I can pick up the phone and call to say, I'm having a bad day. Can you just be with me for a minute? I'm grateful for this meal that I've prepared that nourishes my body. I'm grateful that the one thing I got done today was empty the dishwasher. And there were some days where that was what I did at the end of the day, was write down, okay, what task did I get accomplished? A load of laundry. Period. That's okay. I'm grateful I got one load of laundry done. And so it's at the times when we're just hanging on by a thread that we have to do that which is totally counterintuitive, which is be grateful. Because eventually we move into gratitude for the condition that we're in right now, because it's teaching us and it's helping us learn. It's helping us heal in one way or another. Every challenge that I have is a healing opportunity for me. Every challenge that you have is a healing opportunity for you. Every time you can let that hard little shell around your heart get some cracks in it so the light can get out and the light can get in. You know, there are days, somebody gave me this picture one time about if water drips on a stone long enough, the stone will eventually come apart. And some days it feels like, okay, I'm dropping one drop of water on this stone heart of mine. And eventually it breaks open. Because there's light in there. There's always light in there. There's always light coming from God through the earth, through my crown chakra, right in here. Living in here. It's a circular thing. It's not separate. I only describe it in separate terms because we don't have the human words yet to describe that circular oneness of us with the divine. But that's what it is. And that's what gratitude is. Because gratitude allows you to then open yourself to see more things to be grateful for, so that you can feel more open, to find more gratitude, to find more things to be grateful for. Are you getting the picture? That's how it works. And some days that comes in doing one thing for somebody else, not knowing who else might witness that that happened, so that they might do that other thing. There was a great Coca-Cola commercial. Was it Coke? Yeah, it was a commercial where one person witnessed somebody else doing something kind, so they did a kind thing to somebody else, and that got witnessed. And so it doesn't matter. Don't look around to see if anybody saw you do it, because that got breaks the curse or something like that. Just say, just smile at the person at the grocery store that's checking you out. They may not have gotten a smile all day long. They may not have felt like anybody saw them. You know, we've talked about this before, haven't we? It's important that we see each other, like really see each other. And the people that you might feel the least like seeing are the ones that most need to be seen. So let me just share with you a couple of things that this flawed, perfect individual said. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, he didn't hold back much. My adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in the shelter in the days of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, my enemies all inside me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. David knew. And so it's important for us, in order to know gratitude, to feel gratitude, to be able to open ourselves up to God, and that entreaty may just be, please, God, open me to you. Of my own, I cannot do this. Open me up. Open me up. Break me loose from the fetters of my own creation. Break me loose. Because then we can begin to see. I went to ACL this year with one of my sons, the Austin City Limits Music Festival. You're Wimberley people, you know what it is. So cool. And I'm in the minority population at ACL. Gotta say. But do you know that that made not one bit of difference to any of the people that were around me? Because we were all lifted up by the vibration of music. We were all lifted up. And because I've tried to stay contemporary with music because of my younger sons, because I came to the party old being a parent at 42, so they keep me up on what's out there and introduce me to music, and by golly, I make them make sure that they appreciate the music of our generation. Thank you very much. When one of my boys was 15, we went to see Daryl Hall and John Oates. My son was singing along with everything. I was so proud. So I went to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yes. When Anthony Kiedis took off his shirt, I was like, it was just hot. thank you, God, for letting me see that. It was so good. And but I also went to hear, like, electronic dance music, EDM, trance music, trap music, music that has this incredible dynamic of, like, one person with this electronic magic stuff in front of him. you know what I mean? It's magic stuff. And they build the music up, and they build it up, and they build it up, and they build it up, and then the drop comes. And the drop is when there's big bass. And the whole crowd goes crazy. And we all jump up and down. And I was happy to be jumping with these millennials. And they weren't bothered at all that this old lady was digging their generation of music. And it was at a time when I could stand there in the music and let that bass just clean me out. That vibration just felt like it broke something loose. I may pay for it later with my hearing, but that's okay. I'll deal with that when it arrives, and I'll say, thank you, God, that I had it for as long as I did to be able to hear all that fine music. So that bass just going through you right here, breaking up through all that stuff in your solar plexus. Now, I'm not recommending that this may be your way to get to God. But I can say that for me, the joy and the vibration, which comes from the stars, for heaven's sake. I mean, we're part of a great cosmic vibration. All the stuff I went through with cancer, it didn't change my star stuff. I'm still whole. It doesn't matter. So, here's the deal. If you want to keep your life open for gratitude, oh my gosh, I'm talking too long. If you want to keep your heart open to gratitude, then once you get that spark, once it opens up for you, there's one more step you have to take. You have to share it. You have to keep the circle going. You have to keep the flow intact. So you let somebody else know your joy. say, isn't it a great day? Aren't we glad we aren't shoveling our driveways? And when it's this hot in November, that's a stretch, you know. I would be happy to be shoveling a driveway. But for today, share your gratitude with somebody else. And it might just be a touch. It might be seeing somebody else. It might be, you think of it. But you see, we have that flow going right now, don't we? Don't we? There is this symbiosis that happens with us. These words aren't just coming because I wrote them down. I didn't write anything down. But I trust God to give me these words because you're giving me these words, because God's giving you these words to give to me, to give back to you. That's how it works, my friends. And when this happens up here, does your heart not just soar?
Yes.
Okay, so you go tell somebody, man, I went to church today and the music killed it.
And the message killed it.
So when Marianne talked to you about giving, that's part of it too. And I'm not kidding you. I'm not saying this because this is what ministers do. I think I just jumped my mic right off my face. Okay. It's essential to give back. Have you lost friends here since Ellen left?
Yes.
Have you acknowledged you're sad?
Yes.
Okay. Keep acknowledging you're sad so that you can then be authentically welcoming to who's attracted to this place. You can't get stuck in the sad. But you have to acknowledge it. Now more than ever, and I've worked with many churches in this transition, now it's more important than ever that you see yourself as an organism. One great, thriving, loving, throbbing with joy organism. And it's you who makes this happen. This is a business, my friends. It's a business of spirit. It's a business. It needs your dollars. It needs your hands. It needs your gratitude. It needs your love. It needs your reaching out to touch each other, to hold each other up. You know how you can kind of pick up when somebody is having a bad day? You can also pick up the best way to let them know that you see them. And that you're loaning them a little bit of your comfort for that day. Because that's what it is. When we can't pray for ourselves, there are others that can hold that for us until we can do it ourselves. It's crucial to the life of you, to the life of this spiritual community. I love this place. When I had my church, I used to bring my boards down here for board retreats. And I feel like this place has been a blessing to me from the first day I walked into it. So give it all your heart. And hold each other up until your spiritual leader comes here. I didn't talk about this the last time because I was just so darn happy to be here with you that I just kind of... But I'll tell you what the key is going to be. Be a grateful community. Be grateful in your own lives. Be grateful in the life of this church. And you just watch. I know that slide's not up there right now, but you just watch that prayer for attracting your spiritual leader blossom and gain energy and grow and expand until that right person just says, yeah, this is my home. And you say yes, welcome. And so we're gonna act as if this is what we do. We're going to act as if that energy is already building up. And circumstances and events are arranging themselves right now for that perfect leader to come to you. If you need a little bit of encouragement in the days ahead, open up the Psalms just about anywhere. Look at Psalm 139 that talks about how God knew you since before you were born. And then I'm going to teach you one other thing. A lot of the issues that I've had have been just imbalance in my body. And it's hard to breathe and get yourself right. So I was working with a healer this week who had me doing ocean breathing. And ocean breathing means you breathe in and you breathe out. There's no pause in between, because if you ever watch ocean waves, they don't like come into shore and hang there for a minute and then go back out. They go, okay. No, they just do this, don't they? So you get it already? You getting it? So will you close your eyes for just a minute? And just let this be with your whatever your respiratory condition is. If your respiratory system is compromised, just do as best you can. We're just going to take a breath in and right back out. And I want you to take about 4 or 5 breaths where there's no pause. Deep in, deep out. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Same amount of energy in and out. And notice how everything in your body is clearer than it was a few moments ago. Notice how your mind isn't as important with all its busy little thoughts. It's in the background. Dear God, as I rise up, I thank you for the opportunity to be on this earth. I thank you for my mind and body. I thank you for my life. Please bless my body and use it for your purposes. May I rise up strong today. And may my body and soul radiate your love. Keep breathing. May all impurities be cast out of my mind, my heart, my body. May every cell of my being be filled with your light. May my body and mind both be illumined for your sake and for the sake of all the world. Amen.